Please turn your copies of Scripture to Hebrews chapter 5. Starting in verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are our good shepherd. And Lord, that you lead us to green pastures, that you feed us, Lord, from your word. And I pray today that you would fulfill that promise again through the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would anoint me with your spirit and that you would prepare your people's hearts, Lord, to hear your word, receive it, and by your grace and by your mercy, walk in obedience to it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is this? All the kids were looking, thinking, is Pastor Dan bringing a board? Well, it's not the board that's interesting. It's what's on the board. Because we started quite a few years ago, obviously, when our kids were born, we would find a place in the house, and we would mark how tall they were. And so I've got a mark here. This was how tall Sam was in February of 2002. And let's see, Abby was, this is Abby in December of 2002. We put these marks on the board. And when we moved to our other house, obviously, I measured this up to the original marks and kept everything. But this was our growth chart. And I don't know if you have any of you done that? Anybody? You don't? Wow, a couple people. This is fun. You know, I remember my son Sam, when he was younger, his goal in life was to be taller than his brother Andrew. And boy, when we were marking the boards and it was close, there was a lot of laughing at each other and I'm taller than you now and all this other stuff. But this was our growth chart, and we noticed that people grew at different rates. There was a time when Katie was quite a bit taller than everyone else, and then all of a sudden, Katie wasn't. And everybody grew differently. And that's true of our spiritual life as well, is that if there is spiritual life, then we should be growing. You know, we'd be pretty afraid if we all of a sudden there was somebody who, you know, they were younger, children, and they weren't growing. We'd say, what, you know, we've got to take them to the doctor, find out what's going on. But what happens is if there is spiritual life, then there will be spiritual growth. And we grow at different rates, just like we do physically, but there should be spiritual growth. And what we're going to find out is this today, is that we can spiritually grow and mature by increasing our understanding of the word and walking in obedience to what we know. That's the key to spiritual growth. I'm going to put this board over here. Hopefully I won't trip over it or it won't slide down. If it does, we'll all survive. You know, apparently what was happening, the writer of Hebrews was concerned that the readers or his audience were spiritually immature. Take a look. We're going to go back and look at some of the verses. Now, last time I preached in Hebrews, we talked about Jesus being in the order of Melchizedek. And so I'm going to go back a couple of verses to kind of set up what was happening here. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. It doesn't make sense, because it's like there's this discussion about Jesus being a high priest, and then the writer of Hebrews kind of takes this pause and says, listen, I got to stop right now because I want to go forward, but you can't get this. You're not going to understand this. You're dull of hearing. You're immature. And then the reason I put Hebrews 6, 11 through 12 is because the same Greek word for dull of hearing is sluggish in the verses there. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the same Greek word. It's the only two times in the New Testament where this Greek word is used, right here. And this word dullness of hearing means sluggish, obviously. It means slow. It's idea that you're physically wore down because you're sick, that type of a thing. And that you're, another definition of that word is lazy, just plain lazy. He said, so I can't go on because you're dull of hearing, you're lazy. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because the writer of Hebrews is attributing their spiritual immaturity to their dullness of hearing. He said, that's why I can't move forward, because you're dull of hearing. What is dullness of hearing? What is that? It's when you are hearing the word of God being preached or reading the word of God, and it's almost like white noise. It's that noise in the background that you hear, but you don't hear. You know what I mean? It's there, yeah, oh yeah, and when you think about it, it's there. But what happens is that the longer the white noise is there, the more deaf you become to it. You just don't hear it anymore. Somebody will walk in and say, wow, what's that noise? And you go, what noise? What's the white noise? And so there's this dullness of hearing that there. It's like this white noise. It's there, but you don't really hear it. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. He's talking about the fact that we're hearing with our ears, yet our heart is unresponsive. We hear it, oh yeah, I agree with that, and then we go right on with our lives, not allowing the Word of God to impact our lives and have an effect on how we're living for Christ and for the glory of God. That's the dullness of hearing that the writer of Hebrews is talking about in this group of people that are the readers of Hebrews that he's targeting. They have no faith. The word of God isn't stirring up faith in their heart. The word of God isn't stirring up obedience to what is being said. It's more information coming in. Yeah, I agree. Move on. And that's what he's talking about here. You can see the danger of that. And part of the evidence that that's where they're at is he brings forward this fact that, you know what? You guys, by now, you ought to be teachers. You should be teaching the word. You've been following Christ for a while. You should be teachers by now, and you're not. You're not. Instead, you need to be fed milk. Take a look at God's word. Hebrews 5:12, next verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. And it goes on in Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 1 and 2, it talks about what are those basic oracles of God. So we see basic principles, and then in verse 1, elementary doctrine. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instruction about washings and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, and the eternal judgment. So what he's doing is he's saying, listen, you have been here for a while. You ought to be teachers by now, but you're not, because you're dull of hearing and you're not maturing. And so what happens is that he's calling them, you know what, you need to step up. Now, when it says here, you ought to be teachers, I want to explain that a little bit, because the scripture very clearly says that some of us are gifted as teachers, okay? And yet this is in reference to all of us being teachers. It's kind of like evangelism. There are people that are gifted as evangelists, but yet we're all called to share our faith and have a heart for the lost. And it's very parallel to what he's saying here about teachers. He's saying, you know what? Not all of you are gifted teachers, but you all should be teaching, because you're old enough that you should be able to teach younger Christians the basics of the faith. That's where you should be. What he's calling us to here is discipleship. He's saying, you should know this by now. You should be moving up. You should be stepping up to the plate. But you're not doing that. You have the information. You're not using that information. You need to step up. You need to grow up. It's an admonition that is consistent throughout the book of Hebrews. He said in numerous places before this, listen, be careful. Don't be lazy in your faith. Don't be this. Don't be that. And so now he's bringing this admonishment once again. And he's saying, listen, you need to step up. You need to grow up. You need to take your faith to that next level. I hate that in commercials when they say, this is just the next level of whatever. But really, what he's talking about here is time to grow up. Time to grow up in your faith. What we see here is this word elementary doctrine in Greek means the ABCs, the basic truths of the faith. So then what happens is he makes this list. Now, I was tempted to say, well, let's just go into this list, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go into the list of in Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. You can go through that. But one of the things that is very interesting about this particular list is that it is a list of doctrine that is foundational to Christianity, but it was also foundational to the Old Testament and to the Jewish practices and teachings. So it's kind of hitting them both here. And so what he's doing is he's basically saying, listen, these foundational truths that were laid out, like, for example, faith in God, foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That's what was talked about in the Old Testament, too. You had to have faith towards God. So what happened is that these truths that God had laid in the Jewish faith, in the Old Testament law, were foundational in order for them to understand the work of Christ. Okay, that's why he's talking about the high priest here. Saying, ah, remember there's a high priest? Well, guess what? Now Jesus is the perfect high priest. So what happened is these basic doctrines are what they also understood in their Jewish faith, and there's Christianity was built on that. So probably when they came to know Christ, the Holy Spirit used those foundations that they knew from their Jewish faith, from the Old Testament, built upon them. That's what we're seeing throughout the book of Hebrews, so that they might understand the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to be that these particular hearers stopped there. They didn't go deeper. They didn't try to find, you know, hey, we learned about this stuff, faith towards God. Yeah, that's Old Testament. I'm good with that. I don't want to press any farther. I'm just going to sit here and rest in it. They became lazy in their faith. And so they just went, well, I'm good with that this far. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, there's so much more. There's so much richness there. Don't stop here. You're robbing yourself. Grow up. There's riches beyond your imagination to understand who Christ is. Don't stop now. Keep studying. Keep diving in. Keep pressing in to the Lord Jesus Christ and see all the beauty of who he is and what he has done. But they chose not to. They seemed to be sitting back and saying, this is enough. I'm good. They were not striving for a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, his resurrection. And they were not striving to understand the Christian teachings and the doctrine. They were just, I got the basics, I'm good. And the writer's saying, oh, there's so much more. Don't stop there. Don't rob yourself. Grow up in your faith. To grow and mature spiritually, we must increase our understanding of the Word of God. Take a look again at God's Word. Hebrews chapter 5, we just continue on. You can see the foundation that's being laid here. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. He's laying it out here. And now if we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 through 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying, this is important to know. You need to grow in your understanding of your faith, of the doctrine of the gospel, and to grow up in that. Christian growth and that's the focus here in this section, requires that you lay a foundation of basic doctrine. And he laid out some of this stuff. But you don't stop there. You have to build on that foundation. That's the key. You're not going to become lazy in our faith, lazy, sluggish, dull of hearing, in the sense that we're not going to build upon that. We're just going to be happy with what we know, and that's enough. I know the basics, Dan. It's pressing us on to greater things for the glory of God. He's saying build on it. There's never a time in the Christian life where we should stop being students of the Word. Never. Never. The riches in the Word of God are so deep. I don't know who quoted this, whatever. The Word of God is like an ocean. It's deep enough for an elephant to swim in, yet it's shallow enough on the shores for children to play in. Where are you? Swimming in the deep end or playing on the shore? He's saying, grow in your faith. Grow. Study it. Brothers and sisters, if the Word is not getting into your heart, you are not growing and maturing as a Christian. It's that simple. If the Word is not getting into your heart, if the Word is not there, then you're not growing. You're stagnant. Passivity, your Christian life on autopilot, produces immature Christians. You just, you know, it'll happen, I guess, kind of, sort of. But we need to move forward in it. We need to press in. That's what he's calling them to. You need to grow up. Press in. Understand these truths. And there's some wonderful reasons why. I want to kind of move a little bit towards that. I'm not going to be able to touch the whole thing. But what we find is this, that we need to be careful that we're not learning or studying the Word of God simply to stir ourselves up intellectually. I think that can be a problem. We do it because we want to be challenged. You know, I want to think about this, and we're stirring up to intellectually. Listen, the Word of God, please hear this, the Word of God is designed to transform our lives. It's not just information. It's living and active. The Word of God is powerful. And it's not just to stir us up intellectually so we can have some kind of theological debate with someone that disagrees with us on this issue or that issue. That's good, and we need it for that. But if that's the only reason you're studying the Word of God, I'm telling you right now, you're missing it. Because the Word of God is meant to transform our lives. It is so much more than just information to be filed in our heads. It's transformational. And that's why he's calling us. Listen, don't stop. Don't stop. There's so much more that God would do in your heart. Don't stop. Brothers and sisters, always study with the aim of obedience, with the aim of godly living. And that's where the dull of hearing comes in, right? He's talking in the beginning, you're dull of hearing because you hear these things, but they don't affect your heart. It's just information to you. You can say, I went to church, I went to the synagogue, I did whatever I did. And then you can say, yeah, he talked about this, I think. Or I read this today, and that was just good, I read that before. He's saying, don't be dull of hearing. Allow this Word of God to penetrate your heart, to produce fruit in your lives. It's effective, it's powerful. Don't be dull of hearing. Let it touch your heart and cause an effect, because it has reached your heart that it's going to cause you to live in a way that honors God. That's what he's talking about here. The power of the Word of God. You see, that was the problem of the Hebrew audience here. It wasn't that they didn't have foundational information. They knew this foundational information. The problem was that foundational information wasn't affecting the way they live. It was about fruitfulness. It was about transformation. And the writer, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was challenging them, saying, listen, the Word of God is powerful. And it's just white noise to you. I'm guilty of this myself. I have to be just straight up honest. There's times when I go, you know, I got to have my quiet time, so I'm going to read the Word of God. And it's honestly, I'm ashamed of it. God, forgive me. But it's white noise. And it's hard to admit that. But I don't want that to be in my life. I don't want white noise. How disrespectful of the Word of God to consider it like white noise. just doing it because I got to do it. Background music. That's why Christian growth is directly related to obedience to the truth you already learned. It's understanding, growing an understanding of the word, but doesn't stop there. It's an obedience to what we have heard, what we have understood. Take a look again at God's word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. So he's just moving on. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And then in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10a. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. As you study the word, what it's saying here is you will become skilled in righteousness. You will become skilled as you study the word of God on what it looks like to live a God-honoring life. That's what he's saying. To have the word of God transform you the way you live so that people would see you and give glory to the Father. He looks like his heavenly Father. He's responding like Jesus would respond. And so what happens is that the word of God, as we study it, we become skilled in righteousness, which is Christian living. And we understand life and how to live holy because the word teaches us that. The word of God teaches us how to live like that. And so as we get into the word, we start understanding that in a deeper level. That's why I used to be like this. Again, I'm just confessing my own heart here. I used to think, theology, doctrine isn't that important. I mean, that's just for the kind of the Bible geek guys. You know, they get into that. Doctrine and theology is huge because whether you understand it or not, it affects how you live. What you believe about Christ, what you believe about the gospel, the doctrine, you live, as much as you don't want to admit this, you live by your doctrine. Every Christian, okay, now hear me, every Christian is a theologian, whether you know it or not. Every Christian has what they believe about God and the doctrines of God. That's automatic. It's not just the pastors, it's not just the elders. Every single Christian is a theologian. And every single Christian, their doctrine affects how they live. Every single one. You take the two big groups, the Arminians and the Calvinists, and their theology, you could say, well, what is a Calvinist? Well, that's what we are, by the way, Reformed. This is their general group of beliefs, and that's doctrine. And then we'd say, okay, the Arminians believe this. That's their doctrine. And it's amazing how we live by what we believe. And so we see that the word of God informs our life. And what happens so many times is that our life opens up, we start understanding areas of scripture we didn't before because we're now experiencing things. In other words, our life and the word of God, it's like the symbiotic relationship. They work together. We start understanding life more because we see what's in scripture. And we start understanding some of the depths of scripture because we experience it in life. I'll give you an example of my own personal life. With regards to not really getting something until I experienced it in life. Fatherhood. I did not have a good relationship with my dad. So I did not have a good picture of fatherhood. I didn't understand the things. You know, God is my father, and my initial response was, well, you know, that's why I always thought God was ready to lay the wood to me. Because if I messed up, that's where my dad was at. The only time he talked to me was when I failed. And so I had this picture of my heavenly father. And so it was wrong. It was wrong. And then what happened was, is I became a father in real life. And now all those scriptures that were there opened up. You see, God used life to open up the scripture. And that's what happens. It's this relationship back and forth. How do I respond to this or that? And so scripture and life work together. We are theologians. We walk, we live by our doctrine. We need to grow in that. That's why the challenge here is to understand the word of God and grow in it. Not just hear it, but to walk in it by God's grace and God's mercy. And the more you know the word, the better and greater your moral and spiritual discernment will be. That's what it says here. Because spiritual truth from the world, from the word, flows into practical life decisions. This verse 14 right here, which is this last one, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It's talking about those things that aren't in the word of God. Okay? You can't turn to it and say, there's certain things that are very clear in the word of God. This is sin, this is not sin. But then there's these areas where you go, well, what about this? And it's saying, you know what? If you get into the word, God is going to increase your wisdom, your discernment. And you're going to know good and evil. That's why it says here, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Well, how do we do that? By understanding the word, by getting into the word, by allowing the word to saturate us. And not just to hear it, but to walk in obedience by God's grace. And what happens then is as we grow into the world, into the word, it teaches us how to have this discernment of right and wrong. That's the beauty of the word of God. It says, you know what? Continue to grow in your understanding of the word of God. And as you do, you're going to have a discernment of good and evil. And there's something else. There's this I don't know what term I would use. This growing energy that builds up as we learn to grow. What happens is this, is that if you're not dull of hearing, then you will start grasping the truths in the word of God with your heart, okay? And then what happens is that you will start obeying that by God's grace, and your life will be transformed. God will change you. This is sanctification. This is how God uses his word in our sanctification process. And what happens is this, we mature. We start growing up in our faith. The neat thing is that as our obedience grows, our ability to understand deeper truths also increases. I'll give you an example. When you first got saved, you were forgiven. You knew that. God in his grace opened up your eyes and you, man, I'm forgiven completely. So you know that you were forgiven. That's a basic truth. And so, well, I'm supposed to forgive others, I guess. So then you kind of feel convicted. I got to forgive others. And then you start doing that. You start walking in obedience, start forgiving others. And then what happens is you read this section of scripture, forgive as you have been forgiven. And because you've grasped that first truth that I need to forgive because I've been forgiven, now all of a sudden it's, we got to go even deeper than this. What? Forgive as I have been forgiven. What does that mean, as have I been forgiven? And then you start understanding how God forgave you, the depth of that forgiveness. You go a little deeper. And you go, oh, wow, he doesn't even remember. He doesn't take into account any of the past. I don't do that. And as we grow deeper in an understanding of something and as we walk in obedience to it, what happens is the Spirit of God brings us to the deeper things because we understood and we were walking in those basic things or those previous things. And so he takes us deeper into the understanding of his word. He takes us deeper into the truths and he grants us the grace to understand and the grace to walk in them. And so it's this beautiful picture of how as we grow in the basics and we walk in them by God's grace, he takes us to deeper places because he says, you know what? You can get it now because you understood the basics. And that was the very point that he was touching on here. I can't take you to the deeper things because you're still dull of hearing and you're not walking in the things, the basics. That was the very point here. If you would have got this, if you would have been walking in the basics and living in that, then you could go here, but you're not there yet. You're still immature. You're not ready for solid food. So that's the beauty of what happens as we walk by faith in the truths of God's word. As we're growing up, as we're maturing, he takes us deeper into the truths. And we see, I said this before, Jesus is like this beautiful diamond. And we see him from one perspective, and we go, that's a beautiful diamond. And then we turn and we go, wow, and we start seeing all the facets of that diamond. And I think we're so content with saying, ah, that's a beautiful diamond. That's a great diamond. That's a nice diamond. And he's saying, listen, there's so much more. Would you trust me, Dan? Walk, read my word, study my word. and walk in obedience to it by my grace, and I will show you great and mighty things about myself. And you will grow up, Dan. You will grow up in your faith. You will grow up in your obedience. Because remember, our doctrine affects out the way we live. It has to, if we're true believers. So that's this picture. That's what the writer of Hebrews is calling them to. This sweetness. You know, we're in the New Year's, and we have all our New Year's resolutions, right? Some of you have them right now. Some of you probably have failed them already in the third day, right? Because we're trying to do it in our own flesh, usually. What about this? What about a New Year's resolution that is completely dependent upon the grace of God? As we were praying this morning, our prayer this week that we're focusing on is praying through Psalm 23. And one of the verses in there says, "And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." What that means is this: God's goodness and mercy, as rough and tumble as 2020 was, God's goodness and mercy followed you every day of last year. And God's goodness and mercy is going to follow you every day of 2021. And it doesn't matter what's happening in the world. God's goodness and God's mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And so this next year, God's goodness and mercy will be there. So will be his grace. So maybe what we do is, instead of setting up growth goals for our physical growth, I'm going to lose this amount of weight, or I'm going to do it, or intellectual goals, maybe what we do is we say, God, would you work in my heart that I would hunger and thirst after maturing more in my faith? And that means this, that I would grow up and I would desire to understand more about your word and who you are, Jesus. Understand more about doctrine and theology, because it does affect my life. And God, I need your grace to walk in obedience to you and to your word. And I'll tell you what, you see how much, you know, if your growth chart is somewhere around here right now, and you got to admit that, we'll see where you're at in the end of the this year. Will you be here? Will you be a little bit higher? Will you be here? I don't know. Because there's something else that's hidden in this word of God that you might have missed. I really, honestly, I didn't think about it until this point, is that when we spiritually grow and mature by increasing our understanding of the word of God and by obeying what we learned. So in other words, a mature Christian is this: someone who is growing in the knowledge of the word and truth that results in a transforming life of obedience and godliness. That's what a mature Christian is. And here's another thing. Christian growth is not automatic. That's what we were talking about. As a matter of fact, if you think it's just going to happen and you don't have any plan for it, it's not going to happen. That's the way it works. It's just like anything else. If you say, I'm going to want this to happen, and you don't plan for it to happen, and you don't work towards it for happening, it's not going to happen. It's the same thing with Christian growth. But here's the key. Here's another thing that we have to embrace and trust in is that it takes deliberate effort, but it's also God's enabling. Because there's something at the end of this section of Scripture that tells us that. Take a look, God's word again. Hebrews 6, verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. We will mature if God permits. That's what he's saying. All this stuff, we will mature if God permits. And then in Philippians 2, we see a very similar idea. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? So there's that. I say grace, walking in faith is grace with blisters. It's God's work, but we are part of that too. We have to make an effort. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. For what purpose? For his good pleasure. It's always about the glory of God. It's not about you being a super Christian at the end of the year. It's about God's glory. That as you become more in the image of Christ, he will use you to glorify his name. You see, ultimately, God decides if and how fast you're going to mature in your faith. Don't be lazy, though, with that. See, we think, well, it's God's fault I'm not. Put the effort in there. God's sovereignty and sanctification does not remove our obligation. Please hear that. What God's sovereignty does is it enables us. It enables us. He will put that hunger and thirst in us, and we will move forward. If your heart is convicted right now, that's the Spirit of God working in your heart. And he is not working there just to make you convicted and then you just walk away. That's dull of hearing. But rather, God caused me to walk in obedience now to this. I don't want to just hear it. I don't want it to be white noise. I want this sermon to be white noise, God. I want to have ears to hear, Lord. And I need your grace to do that. So my challenge to you is this. Press on to maturity. Ask God for the grace to be diligent in the study of his word and of doctrine. Ask him for a heart to joyfully receive and obediently apply what we've learned. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, and I thank you, God, that your word loves us enough, that you love us enough, Lord, to not only encourage us, but sometimes we need just a little wake-up call. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts a desire for you, Lord. God, for the times that we have been immature, we haven't grown up, we have been dull of hearing, please forgive us. Please forgive me, Lord, and cause me to press on to maturity this year, Lord. Cause me to hunger and thirst for you, Lord. And God, I pray that it wouldn't just be information gathering, but it would be life-changing and transforming for the purpose, Lord, that your name would be glorified. And we pray all this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.